So today is August the 5th, 2004. I'm Leslie McCartney. We're with Lyle Cronk here in Northway in his home, and we're with Barbara Solarius. Thanks, Lyle, for participating today.
You're welcome.
Good. So we'll start off. Tell us a little about yourself. Where were you originally from? And
Born in upstate New York. Raised on a little farm up there. And when I turned my 18th birthday, I joined the Air Force. And I came to Alaska originally in 1962. And when I left Alaska in 1963, I knew I was coming back. And it took me 10 years and a trip to Nam, but I made it back. And the FAA sent me out. I got hired with the FAA after I retired, and they sent me out here. Mm-hmm. They could have sent me other places, but they didn't have housing big enough for my family.
So they sent you right to Northway then, did
right
they?
To Northway from Anchorage.
How large was your family?
I had six kids.
Okay.
So you
needed a big house.
And you know, I could have left here many years ago, but my wife, the kids, we all liked it. So I just stayed here and retired here. Built my house up here on the hill and just flat enjoy life now.
You got a lovely looking garden outside.
Oh, yes. Di and I work hard on that garden.
Sure. Yeah. So when did you retire?
1998. So I spent my whole 20 years here, other than the last two winters I had to spend my time in Fairbanks because the station was closed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it didn't bother me. I worked, we worked 6 10s or 8 10s, mm-hmm. and I had 6 days off, so I'd come home every 10 days.
Right.
So it worked out, and during the summer, I stayed down here. I worked the station.
And now it's only open part of the year, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, when I was the last 3 years, it was open from May or from March to October, and they've even cut it down since then.
Right.
And we're open. It's only open during daylight hours.
Yeah. So, how old were your children then when you came up here?
Well, my oldest, let's see, Matt would have been 16, mm-hmm. and my youngest would have been about 4.
And so they went to school here in Northway?
All of them graduated but one. She graduated from Tetlin.
Oh. Why from Tetlin? Did they have to move over that way?
No, she had a boyfriend over there. And at that time, you know, girls got their minds set, so.
She graduated.
Well, that's what I told her. It was either you graduate or you're staying here because you're going to graduate here. So, but she said she would graduate. Said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I wanted her to be happy, but doesn't always work out.
Right. So how many people were in town then when you moved here?
Oh, my gosh. There must have been 250, 300 people. When we got here, actually, there was three distinct villages, as the state calls it.
Oh.
The state has it designated as the Northway Indian Village. Then it was the Northway Airport and the Northway Junction. And now, of course, the airport, there's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So all you've got basically is the Indian Village and the Junction up here.
Right.
More people now live up here than in the village.
And when would you say that swap happened? I mean, has this just been
Well,
growing?
The swap happened right as soon as the Northway natives decided to subdivide. They said they always wanted to have good teachers and people stay here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's like I told Rosie Maher, she was the head of the Northway natives at the time, I said, people aren't going to stay here and rent.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to put up some land that they can buy where they can build their own place. And so it took 3 years, but that's what they did. They subdivided this hillside, and we were able to buy into it. And that's how I got my place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you know, as soon as that happened, then other people, you know, a lot of them had their allotments all along the highway anyways.
Right.
And then they started building too.
Uh-huh.
And so they started moving up here.
And what year was that then, Lyle?
Originally, I think they started subdividing in 82, and they put a land up in 83, because I bought my lot in 83.
Right.
So, and that first year, I came and actually it was 84. I figured out where I was going to put the house, dug out for the foundation, and it took me another 2 years after that to find a bank or somebody that would loan me the money. Because I lived out here, they didn't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank that I did business with, they just made me so damn mad that I just took all my money out and went with Alaska USA. And the Northern Schools Credit Union is the one that loaned me the money, but I had to have my brother co-sign for me. Oh, yeah. Even though I was making a lot of money a month, I had to drop my Air Force retirement and FAA pay. It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it still doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's what's so ridiculous about the whole thing.
Yeah.
The living in the rural.
Yeah.
So when you must have been renting then. You were renting.
I lived in the FAA compound at the airport. The FAA had their own housing down there, so all of us that was in FAA lived there.
And when did they close the airport down?
Ludd, let's see. Ludd took it back. Well, Moody had it. Ludd sold it to Moody. Moody rented it out or leased it out to a woman and her family. This must have been back about 2005, something like that, somewhere in that area.
That sounds about right.
About 10 years ago?
And then she got cancer, and she had to get out of it, and they left, and Moody took it back, and then Ludd repossessed it from Moody.
Mm-hmm.
And Ludd was going to keep it open, and he spent a lot of money in here when he first took it back and found out that he wasn't going to get that money back. And so he just said, no more.
Hmm.
And that must have been 2006 or 2007. And that's about the time, back in that, about the time it closed, right around in there.
Yeah.
And it's been closed ever since. State's been trying to get somebody to lease it, but... they're too stupid for, pardon me for saying that, but they're too stupid to realize that a person is not going to buy a lot that you say that is contaminated. And that you're going to be held responsible to clean it up when it's done by the military. And they said, well, because the well is down in the hangar, both lots have to go together. Well, no. Why not just put the lodge lot up and say there's no water available? You'll have to drill your own well.
Mm-hmm.
No, they won't do that.
Mm.
So.
So loss of a lot of employment for people.
Oh, not only employment, but the safety factor for these aircraft coming in, because it's still a port of entry.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can do is go through customs, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. But, that's the way it is.
So so we've talked about employment and the safety. Are there other ways that the airport closing down has affected folks living in this area?
Well, it wasn't only the airport. The fact that there's no jobs here whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
other than those that work for the corporation or work for the village council, that's strictly it. And kids are finding out that welfare ain't everything that is banked up to be. And so they've got the notion finally that, hey, we need to work so we have money for our families. And so the only place what you can do is to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. They still have their ties and everything with the community here, and they come back all the time. But they live Fairbanks or wherever, Tok or wherever. And, that was actually a smart move on their part.
Mm-hmm.
That generation would have been, those that got out of high school in the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, and most of the 90s, and even into the 2000s, they're doing the same thing because they know there's nothing here.
Right.
And the kids, some of the kids, I won't say all of them, some of them are realizing on how important the education is also.
For their children.
Yeah, yeah. Like I got three or four granddaughters. All four of them will have graduated from Mount Olescombe.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one, it's her senior year now. She's just going back for it. And I've got her youngest sister says she's going down there as a junior, as a freshman, which will be next year. Mm-hmm. And the other two are already out. So they realize that, hey, our school can't give them what they need. Mm-hmm. And there's no way possible it is ever going. It started out when we got here. We had about 120 kids in the school. It made a difference because mm-hmm. with that many kids, you got to have the teachers, you got to have the programs. Well, as time went on, the student population decreased, and we kept losing teachers, and we had to close down programs. And like now, I don't think we have any high schoolers at all. Mm-hmm. They're all junior high or elementary. So we're down to three teachers this year.
Right.
And that'll be, I should imagine 25, maybe 30 at the most mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. So, and these kids, to me, it's just, they're acting just like they're going back to what it was when we first got here and was not giving a damn, not caring. Mm-hmm. Because the kids, they don't learn nothing in school. They don't want to learn nothing in school. Mm-hmm. You know, tell a teacher, I don't have to learn that. And the parents don't care. Mm-hmm. So what you going to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier with Tom about the fire department doesn't even exist here.
Not anymore.
No.
I got tired of that.
Mm.
I was a chief for...
Oh, were you?
Originally, it was started up, Jim Burton and Al Nowlin started it. And then they both moved before they got everything set up. And so then I got the paperwork and I started it and got it all going. And with Rosie... And then we finally got everything set up, got the money and where we could build a fire hall and get a fire truck and everything. And we got, we had about 10 members, all volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody had another job. But got so that nobody give a damn. A fire, you could count, on one hand, you count everybody that would show up. Mm-hmm. And you knew every one of them. Nobody else would come. And so over the years, you know, state wouldn't cut us any slack on the rent lot. And they said, well, you've got to respond to an aircraft accident or an air. Well, if we got to respond, if you're going to make us respond, then we should get a cut on our rent. Our lot rent should be for
right.
nothing. No. And then, of course, required to have insurance. And, hell, we've got no way of getting money. Mm-hmm. And we just fought them for, I don't know. Me and the secretary must have fought them for 10 years, and we finally both got tired of it and said no. And so I signed everything over to the village council because we just got tired. And now they have what they call a code red somewhere down in the village. I've never seen it.
And what does that mean?
It's everything that you need for a fire on a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it has enough water or not, but you can always take a water truck out because
yeah.
that's 5,000 gallons, and that's it. Mm-hmm. We've been fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had any fires in a long, long time. With the new housing and everything, you know, it's been pretty good.
Uh-huh. safer stoves, safer chimneys.
Yes. Well, that was a main problem with the old villages, the old cabins, you know. They'd been there for so many years. I mean, it was just like a tinderbox. Mm-hmm. And the old stoves, they weren't regular stoves. They were little small barrel stoves. And you could see right straight through the side of them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, now it's, the new plumbing and everything else, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
It has worked.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't like to go to fires.
Mm-hmm. So did you hunt and trap anywhere around here?
Oh, yeah.
No, where did you go?
Well, right across the airport from where I lived.
Mm.
You know, nobody else trapped down there. I checked before I went out because I don't infringe on anybody. I was brought up that way.
Yeah.
And so nobody trapped over there. So I, you know, asked the locals if I could. And they said, sure, go ahead. I just had about a mile circle out there. Mm-hmm. And I'd run it. Didn't matter. And then that's where I took my boys out. And my two older ones, they didn't care about it. But my youngest one did. And, well, you know Mike. Mm-hmm. So he's a trapper, and he still does it today. And but I told him, I said, hey, you got to walk that trap. You got to walk that line at least once a week. And I said, ain't nothing's because, well, I don't feel like it. No, that ain't going to work. And so, hey, 9 years old, he'd walk that line by himself, just a mile circle, and come back. And so I'm very proud of him.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn how to trap? Is it something you learned here? Or did
oh, no, I learned it back home.
Uh-huh.
See, we lived on a farm out in the country in upstate New York, and there was 8 of us kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a big family, and what you got is what you ate.
Mm-hmm.
What you raised in your garden,
right.
Mother canned that. The fish, we had suckers used to run just mm-hmm. like the salmon do up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were always down spearing suckers. And in the summertime, you know, when the creek would get low and the mud banks was up, then we'd get the turtles.
Mm-hmm.
They're big, great, big old snapping turtles. We'd take them, and Mother would take care of the meat and the stuff on them and everything like that. But that's where we all always traveled. But my brother in Fairbanks, he did it more than I did. I wasn't uh-huh. really into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned how there.
Mm-hmm.
But Alan was a big one. He was a trapper.
So. And then when you came up here, then you...
Oh, I said, well, now's the time to get back into it and teach my sons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I did.
So what did you used to get on your trap line mostly?
Oh, mostly fox. Matter of fact, Mike took... I was quite proud of him. I said, put a fox set out, and he had taken the trap because he had seen some mink signs and said, for a mink and got a mink, the first thing. So I was very proud of him. But, you know, just fox, mostly fox, coyote.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you might get a lynx
mm-hmm.
and a mink. That was it.
Right.
And, of course, in the springtime, then you got muskrats.
Mm-hmm.
I let them trap muskrats all over up here, and then we go out shooting them, too.
Right.
So.
Have they declined in population over the years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
From overhunting, or just anybody know why?
Yeah, from flooding out.
Flooding out.
See, we've flooded so much out here that it just wipes them right out.
Right. Too much water.
Yes. Yes.
So,
too much water.
They need shallow water.
Yeah. And they need shallow water, and they need grass.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they eat. They're a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're good to eat.
Right.
And do you have a sense, is the flooding from the climate changing or
no.
something else?
No. The flooding here is basically due to a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mark Crick Slough has changed and comes down through Fish Lake.
Uh-huh.
That's not from the climate change. That's just from Mother Nature making it, cutting a channel
right,
during the flood season.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's changed it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, most of this stuff is just from a lot of water out there in the valley.
Uh-huh.
Moose Creek hardly ever comes up, but I've seen it up way up on the runway. Almost to the hangar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was all because of rain and snow and the heavy snow out there in the Black Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So the Black Hills is that between here and the Mentastas or between here and the Nisotans?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the Black Hills or the first line of hills about
the
15
first line
miles
of hills.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you have trap lines anywhere else?
No.
That was it.
That was the only one I had, was that right around there.
Right.
So, but after Michael, well, when he got done college and he came back and started teaching, that he set up a line. One of his friends had a line that ran from the airport all the way to the Black Hills.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so he used to run that once a week. And, you know, once in a while, if he got busy, I'd run it for him. No, it was just something I could do. So, but it was fun. But I know better now than to go out there like that and do it by myself. That was, I was 10, 15 years younger. That was different. You know, I could walk back in from that
if
then.
If something happened.
Yeah,
did
but
you
now.
Have a team of dogs that you go out with, or did you walk it?
I took a snow machine.
Snow machine.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're a breakdown. So yeah, they're famous for it.
Yep.
So.
And how about hunting?
Oh, I've hunted around here off and on all the time.
Where do you usually go?
I don't want to tell my secrets. Yeah. Now, everybody knows. I go down to Scotty Creek.
Okay.
Desperate and Scotty Creek is what I love to hunt. I've hunted that for probably 25 years. And they haven't got a moose all the time, but it's fun down there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have to have a moose every year. It's just that I would go down there for the 5 to 10 days and just to stay and have fun. Caribou used to go out here. Well, when you know, after the refuge opened up, we'd go out here and they started coming back. We'd hunt here. But I've got caribou off in Chicken Creek, too, when I was been up there when it was still open. Wasn't many caribou there, but you could get them. Now I road hunt.
Do you go down to Nebesna? Nebesna Road or more around
no,
here?
No, no, this highway here.
Uh-huh.
I've got to be close by where I can get to a telephone and make sure I can call somebody
to
come help me.
Come help. It is a lot of work.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But I got two young lads. They've told me, said, if you get a moose during moose season, you just holler.
Oh, that's good.
And we'll come and help you. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Now, are any of your grandchildren nearby?
Nope. Tok.
Oh.
Everybody's
really?
In Tok. Tok, Delta, and Wasilla.
Okay.
And Fairbanks.
So nobody stayed in Northway?
No.
But
no.
I was just to take them, honey, with you.
Well, I've wanted to, but, you know, it's just too far for them yet. So. Yeah.
Tok's not that far away, but still.
Well, hey, it's still an hour drive.
That's
and
right.
Then they've got to drive back an hour, too, so.
Yep, far enough, yeah. So we were just talking before we turned the recorder on about the geology.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all kinds of rocks. Tell us how you got into the rock business.
I didn't know anything about rocks. And I, when I was in the Air Force, I was sent TDY down to Cannon Air Force Base, New Mexico. That was right after I came back from Clark Air Base. And they were they'd call up the New York National Guard and everything for Vietnam, and they had a whole bunch of other squadrons coming in, and so they needed air traffic controllers. And so I was sitting down there, and on my off-duty time, I didn't have anything to do. So I started wandering around base, and I found the hobby shop and went in, and it was a lapidary shop. And I met the old guy, and I said, is this your whole job? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm a professor at the University of New Mexico, geology. And he said, I just do this for the fun of it. I said, oh. So he took me aside and showed me how to cut and polish and do everything. And no, in the Air Force, I didn't really want all that stuff because you're moving so often.
Right, it's kind of heavy things to be hauling.
Yeah, so I just waited. And when I got up here, I said, now's the time. And so I think it was 96 is when I bought my first slab saw. I was going down to Oregon to my brother's place, so I had a ship there and picked it up and brought it back up with me. And so over the years, I've just kept going at it. And sometimes I really get a hankering to get in there, and I'll polish some. And I just made my two of my granddaughters a moose horn buckle with a big cabochon stone in the middle of it.
Ooh.
And they really look nice.
Yeah.
And so now I was trying to make it a business of it, but I just never had. I was pure lazy, put it that way. I'll be honest, I was lazy.
On the business.
Yes, on the business part of it. Because it wasn't a business to me. It was my hobby. It was something I enjoyed doing.
Right.
And I didn't want to have to do it because I had to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, the hell with it.
So do you go out, you get a lot of samples? I know you said you buy a lot of rocks on the internet. What do you get locally?
Basically locally, only if I can get out to ptarmigan, I can get obsidian, and that's about the only thing I try for. Like I said, the quartz that I get up here, they're all crystals, so there ain't much I can do with them as far as that's concerned, so. Most everything I get is I get off the internet.
Right, and then you said you'd found some amethyst here too.
Oh, I found a little bit, but not enough to do. No,
right.
I've been toying with the idea of going down to that pit, and I roughly know where they got them from, and start digging just to see if I can find anything. You know, but right now I'm trying to remodel upstairs and everything, so I just don't have that time.
So when you polished all the stones, were you trying to sell them as polished stones or as jewelry? Or
well, what was your... when I was doing it, I was trying to make jewelry out of them. Right. And now, if you want some polished stones, I'd give you a quart of them. I don't care. You know, there's so much beauty in there to look at, so I just like other people to have the beauty to look at, too.
Right.
So, I was told that I've got a lot of slabs that I've made, and I was told that you got to have a flat polisher for them. I said, no, you don't. I put them right in the tumbler. Mm-hmm. And I've only broke one, and I've polished a lot of slabs. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, each of those tumblers out there have three or four slabs in it right now.
Do you put the slabs plus other?
Plus small round rocks.
So that they're not just by themselves. Yeah. So that
in the first, my first grind, I just put rocks and then polish in the slabs. My second one, I'll go ahead and run in some what they call plastic beads to buffer it.
Right,
and
so
same thing with the polish, just to buffer it. Mm-hmm. And it does a beautiful job. Mm. But I wouldn't trade for nothing now. So I haven't even passed week. I just started them again 2 days ago.
Oh. How long does it take to polish from?
Well, if you run them 24 hours a day, you can. Each cycle is about a week.
Oh.
But I don't like my things running at night.
Uh-huh.
So I shut them down, and so I run them about 2 weeks, mm-hmm. on each first grind, second grind, pre, and then polish. Hmm. So it takes me give or take it'll take me a couple months. I'm never in a hurry. Life is too short.
So you've talked about Ptarmigan Lake, you've talked about Chicken Creek.
Mm-hmm.
How have you gotten down there? And
I've flown.
So do you fly yourself?
No. Ma'am, I was an air traffic controller for 38 years. I saw too many stupid people in airplanes that were pilots. I love to fly, and I only fly with people I trust, like Ludd. Mm-hmm. Jim Moody, Urban Railway,
mm-hmm.
and Overly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only four people I fly with. Well, I fly with Laval and them. Those guys are 40 mile air anywhere. But other than that, no.
People I
know.
Better to fly with.
Yep. You betcha. Even Urban, like today, he's still a licensed driver, mm-hmm. passes a physical, and he's 96?
At least 92.
He was 95 the last time I talked to him this year.
Then it must be 90.
The last time I met him, it was the day he just got his physical. Yeah. And that was about a year.
Yeah. Last September. He was supposed to be going down to San Diego this summer.
Oh.
They invited him down. What was it to fly? I don't know. I want to say they were going to teach him how to fly the P-51 Mustang.
Okay.
And he was really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. Last year, he got to fly the B-17 and the B-29.
That's right, that he used to fly during World War II.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think they let him take it up, but they let him...
Oh, yeah.
Did they let him take it up?
They let him take it up and land.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. They told him to come back when he was 100 and they'd do it again.
Yeah. And he'll make it.
Sure
he will make it. Yeah. I just don't understand how the old man keeps going. And I would not like to try to work a day beside him.
Oh.
Not even today. Yeah. At his age, no.
You've been out to his lodge?
Impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Riley was out there, I'd go out and stay a week and stuff with Riley during the winter. We'd go ride a horse or ride snow machines and what have you. Just for the fun of it. I didn't have nothing else to do here.
Right.
So.
So you met these pilots because they were flying in and out of the airport?
Yep. That's how I met them all.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. And I met a lot of good people from the lower 48.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back every year, you know, and make a point to stop and see me. And, of course, we all get older, so I've noticed there are drastic drops of people.
Few and farther between for the visits?
Yeah. Now, none of them.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I do see one of them down in Oregon when I go down to my brother's place down there. I do. He lives only about 20 miles away from my brother and knows my brother, so I do get to see him. And so that's pretty good. But all the other ones, guys from New York and what have you that I met, you know, they've all, well, hell, they were middle-aged when I first met them. And after 10, 15 years, you know, that's, they're now up in age.
So yeah.
They stopped flying.
When you first came here, too, there was a number of businesses along the highway?
There's nothing.
No, there was nothing here when you came here?
No.
When you first moved, so there's no businesses along the highway?
Well, I take it back. Wrangellville.
Okay.
That's the only gas station there was, and a lodge. It was right there.
Right.
Run by Gene Spry and his family. And I can't remember the guy that used to own Border City. Matt. That's his first name.
And it was open.
Yeah, well, he just had a little tiny store there. And you could get beer if you wanted and stuff, and that was it. After he sold it, that's when they built it up and made it a big place.
Because it seemed to us driving around that there's a lot of places along the road that are boarded up or abandoned. So was that things that developed after you arrived?
Or they were gone before you arrived?
Well, Scotty Creek was gone before I got here. The next one this way, that's where your new information center is by that lake. That was still here. But when the refuse took over, they burned it to the ground. They burnt the old building, old lodge and everything, and burned it down to beautiful condition.
What lodge was that? Sorry?
Seton's. Seton's Roadhouse.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Huh. That was a good building, but the refuge people burned it to the ground to get rid of it. It made me mad, but what the hell can you do? And then from there to Jean's, there was nothing other than a highway camp. The old highway camp they had, and then they moved up here where they're at now. But the old highway camp, they had housing and everything, and everybody lived right there with them, just like the FAA did. So,
how many people worked at the airport then when you first came or when you first
Holy
started there?
Smokes!
It was a pretty big operation.
We had, let me think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We had 7 controllers, and there was 1, 2, 3. There were 4 electronics techs, and the state trooper lived in the same area as we did. And then down at the airport, that's when Floyd Miller had it. He and his family were there, and he had about 3 or 4 people working for him.
Was that like at the lodge and the restaurant?
Yeah, he owned everything down there, yeah.
So 7 controllers. Did you run 24/7 then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't cut hours until 1995. Oh. We ran 24 hours a day. And they were boring.
So not a whole lot of customers?
Well, no, and especially in wintertime. When it was cold, I mean, it was boring because... Quite obvious, you didn't talk to nobody but yourself. You might get an oddball pilot going across, ask for, say, Kennedy weather, but most of the time you didn't get to talk to nobody. It was just pure boring. You had to have hobbies.
And how about a customs office?
At that time... Originally, they started out, they didn't have a customs office. Actually, before I got here, they had one that was run in the, at the post office, which was the backside of the old store.
Okay.
Okay, then the post office built their new one.
Right.
And customs didn't have it. And so they basically ran it out of the flight service station. And when they first brought a guy up, he stayed in, they got one of the FAA houses, and he stayed in that. And then he left, and they sent a young lad up, and they brought up a house trailer. I don't know. Do you remember where the old school was down at the airport? Okay, just this side of the FAA, there's a concrete pad over there.
Okay.
That was the old school. They set up a house trailer behind that for their customs. And then he left. And they only had a guy come in for the summer that stayed there. And then during the winter, they'd come in from the port.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally decided, we need a customs office. And so the only place they could, they built one originally in the old school. And for whatever reason, whether the state rent was too high or what, they stopped that and didn't have anything. Then they LUD built them one. And then that was in the end of the trailers down there, the office, what they call Office 9. And that was there for many, many years. And then when Moody got it, they wanted to get out of that old trailer. So he built them one in the yellow building down there and met all their specs and everything for security and what have you. And then when they just said, well, it was too much. We're spending money. We ain't got nobody down there.
Mm-hmm.
So they closed it down, took all their stuff out. And now they come in from the border. They have the pilots. Well, when a pilot files a flight plan from Canada, he files a flight service in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. Flight service calls them.
So they know.
They have to have at least an hour notice.
So that somebody's actually there at the airport then?
They're supposed to be here at the airport. They never are.
Okay, but just to know that there's a plane that could be going over in case it runs into trouble, it could land there?
If they're notified, they're going to land here anyways for customs. They want to clear customs here.
So the customs officer is still here then?
Yeah, but he comes in from the port.
That's what you said.
Drives in.
Right now I understand. Yeah.
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 A lot of changes over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, like I talked to the wife, I said, well, don't you want to go to Tok where the kids are? Well, no. This is our house. Well, this is where I'm going to die. I said, well, I guess I'll die here too.
What other big changes then, Lyle? Maybe not touch.
Well, since then, refuge more than anything.
Yeah.
They've came in and started up a lot of stuff. And there's the younger generation has tried to do some things. The cultural week that they have up at 10 Mile, that's taken on quite a bit, much more so than what it was when we got here, because they used to have a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go up there, and now I don't care. Now it's for 2 weeks that they have it up there. Look at how the highways build up now. Mm-hmm. We have housing all along the highway, which wasn't here before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably the way it'll stay.
And the road going down to Northway when you moved here, was it still the dirt track or was it already?
Oh, no, it was dirt. Fish Creek Bridge was one way. It was always single lane bridge. Talk about mud, you don't know what mud is. Not until you come and break up down on that road. We used to plant trees on the middle of the road. It was that bad. You better carry a chain along with you because you're going to get stuck. If somebody will come along and pull you out. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get stuck. It was terrible.
And you'd have to travel that to get to work.
Well, not initially.
Well, right, not when you were up and down in that.
But when I came out, but... Then they'd already tried to rebuild it, and so it was in much better condition.
Okay.
But I did. I've been a telephone person here since 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran it every single day. When I wasn't working at the FAA, I worked for the phone company.
Mm.
And I spent many hours on this road in a mud hole.
So you say you're the telephone guy. You're the guy putting up the lines? Or
I installed phones. I fixed phones. I did everything.
Right.
If the lines broke, I put them up.
And when did the phone lines come into town? Was there a...
Well, they were here when I got here. Yeah. Okay. See, I don't know what company had them a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, ACS is what they call them. That was not the same ACS company. It was I think it was the military service originally that put them up.
Mm.
That's what the only lines we had was the 8 metal lines like you have at the border. Mm-hmm. That's what came all the way through here and all the way to the airport. Mm. We had nothing else.
So the phones went to the airport, but not necessarily to people's houses when you got here.
Oh, no. There was only one phone in the village.
Okay.
That was a payphone.
Right.
They didn't get phones in there until probably in mid-85, 86, mm-hmm. something like that, before we started running them down. And then, of course, people started, well, we can have phones in the house. So then everybody started. So then they had to run cables down through the power line. And, mm-hmm. and that's when we started putting them, everybody in the village would get them. But no, even up here in the highway, you only had 8 customers.
Okay.
Because there was eight pair of lines.
Right,
that's all.
Right.
And so if you wanted, they had what they call a CMA system. You could, there's 8 channels on there. Radio frequencies, and so you could hook 8 people up on one pair of lines.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we went to. And then they finally started laying some cables because they wanted to get rid of all this other wiring. So they laid cables and buried cables. But I've gone through the whole thing.
So then when did they really build the road and chip it so that it was much, much better for traveling in and out?
Let me think. They remodeled this road, started originally in 83. And so it must have been about 85, 86. They started doing some work on the road. Well, they'd worked on the road for a long time. That spot just after the Fish Creek Bridge where you come out of the water and just go... Mm-hmm. Well, that spot right there used to sink. And they've dumped hundreds of loads of stuff.
So it just, like, they dump it, it sinks. They have to dump more on it.
Every year they had to dump more and more and more stuff in there. And they don't know why. Mm-hmm. So, but their first job of doing it, it wasn't bad. It did help out tremendously on the mud holes mm-hmm. and the breakup. And then they finally said, well, they got money, because we had complained a lot. Mm-hmm. And they started really getting into it, and then they built up a good basic for the road. And after that, the earthquake destroyed it, of course.
The one in 2002?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hadn't realized there was that much impact right. up here.
Oh, well, I've got pictures of it.
Oh, I believe you. I believe you.
Was it there a lot of structural damage to buildings, or was it just basically...
Basically land. The airport.
Slide.
Well, it destroyed the airport. It was closed. Oh, yeah. You want to see some pictures of it?
I do.
Let's see if I can get there without...
Here, let me take that off of you. I'll turn this
on. There wasn't that much damage done to the houses.
Right. It was just
but it was just basically the land, because that's way straight east.
Hmm. So is the fault pretty close to here then?
I don't know where it's at. I don't think so. I think the way the fault comes is out of it came off Denali,
right,
and shot straight eastward.
Right. I mean, it's the Tishanda Fault.
I have no idea where it's at.
The park.
Is that basically the only earthquake that you've heard about going through here? Like, was there any stories of, like, I mean, there's
I felt other tremors and stuff like that, but nothing like, I didn't even know that had come through. I was coming back from Haines. Mm. I didn't even feel it.
Right.
Until I got to Customs, and Customs told me. I said, oh, well, okay.
So what did it do at the airport?
Oh, well, did you see some of the...
I saw the land pictures.
No, just keep going.
Okay.
The airport's there. That's part of the airport right there.
Right there on the runway.
Yep.
Wow. Just a huge crack going right across
and it. And just keep going. See, all this, it shifted up and down.
Okay.
Those are ridges that weren't there before.
Oh, my.
Huh. You'll see where... Yeah, that was right down the middle.
So have they ever repaired this?
Oh, yeah. They came down that fall and shortened it up to 3,000 feet mm-hmm. and made it a dirt.
So it was at least something that was usable.
Yes, right. See, that's down along.
Those are really interesting.
Big sinkholes.
And then what, 3-4 years ago? 5 years ago? they put it back to the same original length of 5,100 mm-hmm. feet. They dug it out and repacked stuff and brought a compactor in and compacted it. And now it's back up to 5,000 feet. So.
And these are big sinkholes?
Yeah. Well, that's if it looks like a volcano,
yeah.
It would blow it out of the ground. It was water coming out of the ground. They said there was one by the corner of the lodge. They said the water went up 50 feet. See, that's the bad thing about here. This whole valley is underlying on is I like, well, I can't use that word. It's mud. Put it that way. And so as soon as you can shake it up, it becomes like jelly.
It's liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I scan a few of those?
No,
well,
go ahead.
Okay, I'll do that afterwards. Thank you.
You know, I know full well that this had to be we're now 300 feet higher than what we were, what this land originally was. When we drilled Roy Sam's well down by Moose Creek,
mm-hmm.
at 300 feet, we blew it, and there were sticks and stuff coming out of the water. So we know that originally. That's right. Over the years.
Something's gone up and then subsidence has gone down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's definitely that kind of a fault.
But oh yeah. Hey.
Yeah, I hadn't realized there was so much damage here in Northway.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I know, I've seen talked to folks in Salina and Mentasta.
Oh yeah. That was destroyed. I've got some I can't find them. I was just going to show because I got pictures of the tote cutoff
mm-hmm.
and displaced. I mean, like this.
Yeah.
You see a tractor trailer sitting in there. Oh, well, there was one in there.
Wow.
But oh yeah, huge shifts sheared right off the side of the road and gone.
Mm.
Oh.
Wow.
But you know, this house sits on bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
And
the village, down in the village, it was open.
No, it drops stuff off the shelves and stuff like that. But
right,
as far as the house is concerned, no.
Huh.
The lodge didn't hurt. I mean, the community center, it broke, you know, sheetrock.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt the building itself at all.
Huh.
As I know, no buildings were destroyed whatsoever.
Right.
So I'm trying to think if there's...
Me too. So you haven't traveled down... We've asked you already, and you haven't traveled really down or hunted down the parks or anything like that? Or have you been into the Wrangell St. Elias parks?
Only from Ptarmigan.
Only from Ptarmigan.
Well, I've driven in the Salina Road.
The Besner Road, yeah.
Other than that, no. Okay. I've never been in.
Right, yeah.
Nope.
I'm trying to think, too. Anything else?
Anything else you can think to tell us just about
life here?
Life, your life in Northway and how things
life
have
here
changed
is great.
Over the years?
With what's going on in our country right now, I'm in the best spot I could ever be. I don't want to go no place else. I don't mind the cold. I do mind the heat in the summertime because it gets hot out here. And it bothers my asthma, something fierce. But other than that, no. I would, like I say, I'll die here.
That's interesting, Roy, that you were saying you don't mind the cold. Have you find it's not as cold as it used to be in the wintertime?
Oh, it's just as cold.
You think it's just as cold?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
Well, I'll take it back. Our first winter here, it hit 71.4 below zero at the airport. And Diana and I walked from our house down to the lodge just for a cup of coffee. That was on the 9th of February of 1979.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's a... No, it doesn't hit 70 below. No, it doesn't. Now, why, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, hey, 45, 50, 60 below, mm-hmm. it still hits it.
Mm-hmm.
Up here, there's a good 10-degree difference between here and the airport.
Really?
At least 10. Oh, yeah.
Up or down? You mean colder here?
Well, we're warmer.
Yeah. We're warmer.
We're warmer,
higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All you got to do is go down to the airport, look at the chimney. say where the smoke is leveling off at.
Mm-hmm.
That's a temperature inversion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Above that is warmer. Yeah. Right. And I don't know whether you've noticed that I have several times flying. When you're flying along, you look at the mountains. There ain't no mountains. They're cut right off.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a fascinating phenomena
mm-hmm.
to see that.
Hmm.
But, you know, I love the river. I don't go on it by myself anymore because I'm not dumb.
Do you use a boat river quite a bit?
Oh, my God, yes. Right. I had a little 16-foot flat bottom with a 35 horse,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we took moose hunting.
Mm.
Me, my hunting partner's his wife, and I'd probably take one of my kids with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got a moose, all the camp gear and everything was in that boat. Everything we took with us was in that boat. And I've carried five people, moose, all camp gear out of there, come down from Scotty Creek all the way to Steel Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you can't get back up Desper. And so your only choice is to come down river.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to run it all the time. And back then, I didn't mind going in by myself because
mm-hmm.
I knew I could walk out and what have you. But now, no, it's a lot different since I've grown up a little bit.
Did a lot of people use boats then when they went hunting?
Just about everybody.
Did they?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, a lot of them hunting 10 mile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, usually you can't get in there except by river.
Mm.
The trail that they've got, I don't know how bad it is. I've never been in on it. But I know before they said it was always awful muddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always 10, 12 boats upriver.
Mm-hmm. What about fishing? Did you do a lot of fishing?
Always up to Scotty Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Never any in between. Well, I set the winter lines down here at the mouth of Moose Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I was setting my set lines for burbot.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't fish around here. At the airport, we used to every once in a while go out. There's a little slough off the end of the runway. We go for grayling. They're beautiful grayling in there. But grayling, the only way a grayling's any good is if you got a frying pan with you and you build a fire right then and there. That's the only way they're any good.
Yeah.
So, but I go to Scotty Creek and up there for pike.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got to get up there. It's been a long time since I've been up there.
Do you have a cabin up there?
No.
No.
I tell you, well... my daughter-in-law's father had a tent cabin up there, and his, you know, Spence, the blue one. It's down on Scotty Creek, just above the Eagle's Nest.
Okay, no. I'm not super familiar with it.
Oh, okay,
area,
all right.
I mean, I know where Scotty Creek is, but
yeah,
that's about
yeah.
it.
But and we've been trying to keep that up, so we have a place down there. But between the bears and everything, and not using it, it's starting really to fall down, and so. Mike and I were talking about getting some 2x6s and going down and rebuild it, the frame and everything, and putting new canvas and stuff onto it.
Right.
But we just never seemed to get time to do it. But that's the only spot. Other than that, we always carried our own tents.
Mm-hmm.
Live in a tent for eight to 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Run. Well, with my little boat, I could never go up to Mirror Creek because it was too shallow.
Mm-hmm.
But with my jet boat, I've been 10 miles above Mirror Creek. Mm-hmm. I can go that far. I only need mm-hmm. going with my, I only need 2 inches of water with
right.
my big boat.
Right, yeah.
So. Huh. But it's so beautiful up there, too.
Is it?
Yeah. I go up there and sit down and stop that boat on the bank and my God, you know, just sit there and look at it. Matter of fact, my last trip up there, we saw 2 grizzlies, 2 sows, and each of them had 2 cubs within 300 yards of each other.
Ooh.
They both swam. They were swimming the river.
Mm-hmm. You're just looking on the map, Barbara, to see where it is?
Yeah, well, so here's Scotty Creek,
mm-hmm.
And then Mirror Creek's down here.
Right. So it's all enclosed in the Tutland Wildlife
yeah.
Refuge.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all part of that.
Oh, yeah. There are some private inholdings in there. Matter of fact, Wino, he had told me before he died that I could build a cabin on his place if I wanted to, but I knew if I did, it would become a wino camp and stuff, and I didn't want that, so I never bothered to. Because you can look at the mouth of Scotty Creek down there on the other side. That was Wino and Ada.
Uh-huh.
And then go up to Mud Lake behind the Eagle's Nest. That was Wino and Ada. It would just become, they never bothered to pick up nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to make me mad. You know, they trash it. There's no need for that.
When the refuge went in, did that have an impact on how people use the land?
Oh. Not them.
But anybody else?
Well, no. It really didn't impact us at all because they've never stopped us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've always made sure, even before they came in, that we picked up our trash and stuff. We never left nothing there.
Leave no trace camping.
No. Right. Everything we take in, we bring out.
Yeah.
And so, and that's the way I was brought up.
So have you always had a garden?
Ever since I've been up here. You betcha.
Didn't garden in upstate New York? You must have done.
Well, we did on the farm, yes.
Yeah.
But that, I hated it then.
Of course you did. All farm kids hate it.
Well, sure. You know, when you have to. Now, this is because I want to. It's a difference.
I knew in some of the other communities, there have been gardens.
Big gardens.
But I haven't really seen other gardens here in Northway.
There's very few. Now, Sherry and Glenn down below us, they've got a garden.
Uh-huh.
I think Steve's mom's got a garden over on his. Becky used to have one, but she doesn't plant hers anymore.
Mm-hmm. More people up here than down.
Oh, yeah, because down there, the FA had a garden. Uh-huh. Back, all of us, we had a section in that garden.
Okay.
And it stuffed in. It was just awful cold ground temperatures down there. Yeah, a lot, you know. And
more close to the permafrost.
Your root crops, they did pretty darn good.
Uh-huh.
But carrots didn't like it. Beets didn't like it. Potatoes did good. And beans didn't like it at all. And mm-hmm. peas, they didn't like it.
Your cabbage plant families?
Yeah, they love it. That's root crops.
Yeah.
They loved it. The cooler, the better. But, yeah, we had always had a garden down there for that. Didn't have to, but I always I like fresh food.
Mm-hmm. And was there any gardens down in the actual village of Northway? No.
They tried a couple of times. I don't remember where they started. They tried one before the community hall was built.
Mm-hmm.
And it was up there. And some of the people did grow some good stuff, but other people would go out and steal them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then people said, well, I'm not going to plant it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stopped doing it all. Then they started it down here by Kelly's place. That's the first house on the left as you're going down the road. Or just past his place, they had tilled that bank up in there. And there was a few people that planted in there. But I don't know why. They just lost interest in mm-hmm. it and just let it go back to nature.
Mm.
But I enjoy it. It's something Ma and I like to do. I like the veggies and she likes the flowers.
Perfect match.
So yeah, yep. Yeah. Well, I like the flowers too, but don't get me wrong, I do. Because I plant them in the garden. If I got any space left over, I plant flowers.
Bring in the bees.
Yeah,
bring
the
bees. I don't have any problem with bees. I don't know where they come from, but I don't have any problem with bees.
All right.
Well, anything else, Lyle, that you can think of to tell us about the community, the changes you've seen or since you've been here?
No, not really. I just said I'm not going to move.
You like it here.
I love it here.
You've given us a great snapshot of the community. Yeah. Definitely.
I love it here.
Yeah.
And the people at FAA could never understand it. They've because I came out of Anchorage to here.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, 2 years, you can come back to Anchorage. And I look at them and I go, why would I want to do that? And the more I stayed here, I said, I really don't want to do that. And I was worried that the FAA was going to close this place and I was going to be forced to.
Uh-huh.
That bothered me tremendously.
You managed to retire out of here, didn't you?
Thank God I did, right. Yes.
Yeah.
As soon as I got eligible, I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I was eligible 6 months before I did, but I wanted to spend the summer down here because that was I got more money.
Right.
That was per diem. It was non-taxable.
All right.
And so, and then I was due to move on the 1st of October, and instead I moved on the 30th of September and retired that same day. So, no, it's, and it's actually a good place, but you have to like the cold.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the cold, then you better have some hobbies inside.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 100 hobbies.
What else do you do?
Oh, I'm a stamp collector.
Uh-huh.
Well, those most of the stamps, most of the stamps are in the gun vault.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any guns in the vault.
No.
I got stamps. But I also do leather work.
Mm-hmm.
I cut and polish stones.
Yeah.
Hell, a dozen different things. I'll go up and help her with her jigsaw puzzles.
Mm-hmm. Life's busy.
Hey, you got to do something. If you get tired, you just sit back in a chair, take a nap. 15 minutes later, you're back up. That's what's nice about life.
Well, thank you, Lau.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You've given us a wonderful glimpse of life here.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you so much.